Thank you, Brother Hendricks. Praise the Lord, everyone. I would like to say tonight that of all the meetings that I preach throughout the course of a year, there are many of them, this is one of my favorite meetings. The reason is because of your tremendous hunger and because of the great spirit of fellowship and camaraderie that is in this place. And I know that the Freemans concur with me when I say that. We are delighted to come here and to minister to you and to worship with you. One of the things that makes this meeting such an outstanding meeting is the Christian spirit of Brother Hendricks. He is one of the finest Christians I have ever met. And his spirit, the spirit of his wife and family, permeate this meeting. There are great people among us. Look at your neighbor and say, and you're one of them. Look back and say, thank you. Wonderful what I feel in this place. There is a cleanness in the atmosphere. There is something wonderful in this sanctuary tonight. We could have let go of it about 20 minutes ago. Just let go of it. But I still feel that wonderful surge here. I want to read to you tonight from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 16. I know that you've heard sermons, messages from this text probably many times. The setting here is that Jesus has taken his disciples to a Roman city called Caesarea Philippi. And in verse 13, the Bible says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Who do you say I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Anointed One, Son of the Living God. Say bold declaration. But what is staggering to me is that the very same man, Peter, a few chapters later, in the same book of Matthew, if you go to Matthew chapter 26 and begin at verse 69, the setting here, they're in Jerusalem, the seat of Judaism, the seat of the Rabbinate. Here in Jerusalem, Peter, in the setting of a trial for this Jesus whom he has declared is the Christ. In verse 69, the Bible says, now Peter sat without in the palace, and the damsel came unto him, saying, thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto them that were there, this fellow, meaning Peter, was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. I don't know this Jesus. I don't know this Jesus who he is. And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee or betrayeth thee. He had the same accent. Then began he, Peter, to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. I simply want to entitle this tonight, I Will Find Faith in Jerusalem. Would you lift your voices, your hearts, in your spirit? And would you pray tonight for great revelation and understanding to break through upon you? Not only revelation and understanding, but ask God to give you a holy boldness unlike anything you have ever known. Lord Jesus, tonight, within the sound of my voice, are some of the most precious people, some of the greatest men of God. And tonight, I am praying for them that you will work a miracle here, not only physical miracles, but that you will work a miracle in the minds and the hearts and the attitudes of your people. And that great boldness, without intimidation and with godly wisdom, will come upon us like never before. And at the close of this camp meeting, we will be so changed that this weekend, when we return to our respective houses of worship, that power will burst forth, and that glory will fall, and that the miraculous will take place, and that revival will begin, knowing no end. Tonight I pray for the authority of God, for the authority of the Spirit of the Lord, the power of the name of Jesus, the authority of the name of Jesus, and a revelation as to who we are. We give you praise, we give you thanks in Jesus' blessed and wonderful name. And everyone said, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing so long. Would you clap tonight with the strength that you have left at this point? And would you lift your voice once again in praise and in exaltation? Because surely the presence of the Lord is mightily in this house tonight. In fact, I feel here tonight what I feel on foreign soil when I go to foreign soil. The spontaneity, the worship of the people of God, the embracing of the lips of the Spirit upon our heartfelt reaching and worship lifting into His presence. You may be seated, but as you're seated, let's clap one more time and everyone get involved. Everyone that did not get involved before. It sounds so much different. It sounds so solid, like something has hit. And you can feel the hit. You can feel the flood of the Spirit of God in this house. Because the miraculous is here. Because Jesus is here. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Wonderful. As most of you know, I come from a denominational background. I was not raised in Pentecostalism. I was a Baptist as a child and got into the Evangelical Free Church in my late teens and early 20s. And of course, I knew something about the Scriptures. Heard them taught and preached in the various denominational churches I had attended from childhood through the point at which I found you. So I knew something about the scriptures, and I knew and I had read about the miracles and the power of God that was manifested in the ministry of Jesus in his earthly ministry. And always, even before I ever knew you existed, there was something in my heart that would leap when I read certain stories, or even my pastor in the Evangelical Free Church, when he would mention some story or tell or relate some account of the miraculous in the Bible. It was always just a light reference, but something in me would just reach out like that, and I would never be able to touch because they didn't go any farther. So to make a long story short, when I came here, just a handful of people in a basement of a parsonage, this miraculous thing that I had always reached for, this thing I had always wanted to touch, it was on your lips all the time. There were testimonies unlike anything I'd ever heard, just from people in the congregation. There was preaching, and then after church they would always entertain me, trying to get me more involved with coming to that particular church. And around the table they would continuously tell stories of the miraculous that had happened, and they would relate things that were coming in from foreign soil, things that I had never ever heard before, things that I had never even known existed. Let's worship the Lord for a moment. Jesus, I worship you in Jesus' name. And though I really didn't understand what it took to get into the kingdom of God, I didn't really understand at that point the necessity of baptism in Jesus' name and the infilling of the Holy Ghost and all of the particulars. But there was something about the miraculous stories that were being told. I really enjoyed the conversations at the table in the butcher's kitchen at night after service almost more than the services, because for some reason they would remember things around the table that they didn't seem to remember when the service was going on, or there was no place for it. Then I remember one night them telling a story about a miracle that had happened on foreign soil, and my soul absolutely just leapt inside of me, because there was something in me that if there was a Jesus like that, I wanted to know him. I wanted to get a hold of that kind of Jesus. I knew the Jesus of denominationalism. I knew the formalities of what is called Christianity. But there was another aspect of reality, of power, that I wanted to connect with. I wanted to be that kind of Christian. I wanted to get involved in that kind of church, that kind of truth. And one of the stories they told was that a pastor in that area had just come back from some conference in South America, and as the people had gathered out of the valley into this tent that they had pitched there for this conference, there were so many people that came that they had to open the back of the tent, and people were outside the tent and they were seated all over the lawn or the grass. And the preacher said that while he sat on the platform, suddenly down in the valley in the distance, as the sun was beginning to go down, they could see what looked like a cloud coming slowly up the valley, and they thought it was just a cloud. But the longer they looked and the more they looked, the cloud kept coming, and it seemed to have a direction. It was coming directly to the tent, and the more they watched it, they forgot about the service, and that thing kept coming, and they realized it was like a mist. It was the presence of God. It was the presence of the Holy Ghost that was attracted to the people of God who were worshiping in spirit and in truth. And they told how that cloud came right in. It didn't stay outside the tent. It came into the tent over the people, and it just exploded over the people. And when it did, people were healed
of all kinds of diseases, and people were converted, and people were changed, and their lives were transformed. I cannot tell you what that did to me. I cannot tell you what that did to me. I cannot tell you what that did to me as someone on the outside of these rags. And in my heart, I blink back tears because I could see it. I could see it. I could see it. I could see it. And my soul longed for it. And it was that kind of power, that kind of Jesus that caused me to forsake everything and all and come to this. And no matter what you told me to do, I made up my mind that where you went, I would go. And what you said, I would do. And how you lived, I would live. And how you dressed, I would dress. And the commandments you kept, I would keep. Because there is nothing, there is nothing, there is nothing too hard when you have really seen or really touch the power of God. When you get into the presence of the reality of Jesus, the things of this world grow strangely dim. And if you ever really get involved with the moving of the Spirit of God, standards are not hard. Holiness is not hard. The laws of God are not hard. It is easy to serve the Lord when you have seen Him high and lifted up in His temple. And the Bible says the fear of the Lord is among the people. The fear of the Lord is in the assembly of the saints. The fear of God is in this house. The respect of God is in this house. And because Jesus is here, anything, 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 anything can happen in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you feel like clapping? Do you feel like worshiping? I pray for revelation. I pray for revelation upon your people. Help them to see it. Help our people to see it. Help our people to see it. Help our people to see it. In the name of Jesus. And then I got into the church, but the stories kept coming. I remember some years later, I read the story in Australia. For many, many years, way back there, we were unable to penetrate the Aborigines in Australia. Our missionaries couldn't reach them. There was nothing that could be done to reach these people in the interior of the continent of Australia. But this article came out in one of the foreign missions publications at that time, several years ago, many years ago now. But I remember it came to my hands. Do you know that Jesus will make a way for you to get a hold of what you want? He will make a way for you to get a hold of the real thing. If you hunger and desire, He will bring the people across your path. He will let it fall into your hands. He will help you to meet the right people. He will come to you in a prayer meeting. He will fall on you in a service. He will come to you. Your hunger, your faith that reaches out will never return to you void. And I was so excited because the story went like this. Among the Aborigines, even though the Aborigines knew the local missionary at that time, they would not worship. They would not get involved with us. But there was an old man among them. He was an aged Aborigine, and they called him Pappy. He was known by the name or the term Pappy. And he died. And when he died, the Aborigines began to try to find this missionary who had talked about this Jesus who could do the miraculous. And so they laid him out on some kind of a little mat. And the story went that he had lain there for nearly 3 days in that heat. And they sent word for the missionary to come. It took him about that long to come, as I remember the story. And when he got there, they explained that Pappy had died. And they didn't ask anything, but the missionary went to this dead body and got down on the ground on his face beside this dead ancient aborigine, if I may say it that way, and began to talk to the only one who is the giver of life. And he didn't say some simple prayer. That's our whole problem, people. We just dab you with oil and send you back to a seat and go on with some miserable program. But we ought to get a hold of people and hold on until we touch the hem of his garment. We ought to pray for healing the way we pray, the way we pray for people to get the Holy Ghost. That's how they did it when I came into this 35 years ago. We just got a hold of people and held on till God did something. Because if you ask, it shall be given unto you. If you seek, ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. And the missionary prayed. He prayed, I think the article said over a half hour or something like that. All of a sudden, the body of that dead aborigine began to move. And warmth came into his body. And the old man sat up. It, from that point on, the aborigines began to come. They ran. They got baptized in Jesus' name. They received the Holy Ghost. And today, there are many aborigines that are coming to the Lord. In fact, I've been to Australia. I'll be back there again later this year. And I have helped pray some of those people through to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But it began with a Savior that is able to do anything, everything, and all things. He really can raise the dead. I know that the carpenters know that. I know that these precious people, the Freemans, know that. That God can still raise the dead. It doesn't matter if a doctor says they're dead, carry them away. There's a man called Jesus that comes walking on the sea. And when he says, I say unto you, arise, they will arise. Because he is the resurrection and the life. Hallelujah. And so my faith was lifted, and my faith continued to build. And then when I first got out of Bible school, I remember preaching down in Connecticut for one of our preachers. And in those days, I would stay for several weeks in a place, and I was there, had been there for some time, and we had had a lot of people get the Holy Ghost way back there in the early 70s, and the news had spread, and there were a lot of people coming and visiting, and in fact, we cleaned out one whole Assembly of God church. We just absolutely emptied out the whole church. They all came and got baptized in Jesus' name. They all got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It was just a tremendous, tremendous move of God in those days. And so, in fact, that pastor had to close down and go someplace else because we had all the people. But this is how it should be, because there is only one God. There is only one God. There is only one Christianity that is acceptable by the Lord of glory. And that's another message. But one night, I think it was on a Saturday night, as I was seated on the platform, and I wasn't too far away from being introduced to the pit and announced to preach, etc. And there was a tall, stately man that came walking in through the back door. And when I just looked at him, you know how some people just carry the anointing in their person? They carry the power of God around them. You can feel it when they walk in. Some people can walk into a camp meeting and change the atmosphere just like that. Just like that. Because they carry the anointing in their body. When they walk in, the spirit world changes. You can feel it. And something changed in the spirit world when this man walked in. And I was sitting beside the pastor. And the pastor, I looked at him and I said, who is that? He said, Mr. Duncan, that is the missionary from South America, Brother Larson. I said, you're kidding. I said, it doesn't matter that I preach tonight. I want to hear him. He said, I'll have him come to the pulpit. That man came to the platform at the pastor's request. I stood in his honor. He came by and shook my hand. He sat down. He was very quiet. He was a dignified type individual. He sat there, but you could feel authority in him. You could feel security in him. You could feel it. And the pastor introduced him, and I will never forget this. He came to the pulpit, and he said to them, he said, no, no, I will not preach to you. You people are like fatted calves in the stall.
thought, this is different. And he was so authoritative. He said, you have heard the gospel enough times to convert the whole world. And then he said, and the reason is because, he said, when I first went to South America, he said, there was no support. We went without anything. He said, we left our children in Canada to be raised by someone else because we felt that God had called us to this foreign country, this foreign soil. He said, we got to that country. He said, we preached. He said, I think he said it was 5 years. He said, not one soul in 5 years even came to get baptized. He said, but we preached the gospel. He said, we kept preaching the gospel. He said, my wife took sick. And he said, she got worse. And he said, God evidently chose to take her. He said, she died. He said, and I built a coffin for her with my own hands. He said, I took a shovel and I dug her grave with my own hands while those natives watched. He said, I lowered her coffin in the hole with the help of one other native and stood there and shoveled the ground in upon her and lifted my hands after the last shovel full and said, blessed be the name of the Lord, for the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. He said, but today there are 15,000 natives baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost in that valley, in that area. What a price, what a price, what a price to pay. But behold, the purchase of such a price. I sat on the platform and I wept and I cried. I could not hardly preach that night. And the Spirit of God was merciful and just came walking in because that man set as atmosphere. He brought something with him. Do you hear me tonight? I want to bring something to this world. I want to bring something to this world. I do not want my living to be in vain. I do not want to just walk through this world and occupy space. I want to do something. I want to bring something. I want to bring something to this present world. And then the years came and I began to pastor. The first church I pastored was in Schenectady, New York on Webster Street. In fact, I was by the other day. It brought back so many memories and so many things I dug out there. I dug up my ministry on the backside of the desert. And nobody knew who I was. But it doesn't make any difference if the world knows. There's a Jesus who knows. He knows. And he hears every prayer. He hears every word. But in those early years of pastoring there, I remember the story came from Billy Cole in Thailand. And I rejoiced. We cried. We wept in the church one night over this story. He told how the story came back. And he told how that they had gone to one village somewhere there in Thailand. And as they entered the village, there was a man at the edge of the village, and the man was chained to a stake on a long chain, just like a dog. And the man was insane. He was just insane. And his family lived in poverty, and they would bring a pan of food to this man, this derelict, this wretched specimen of society now, cast out by the village, living at the end of a chain like a dog at the edge of the village. But the children and the wife would bring food, and they would set it at such a distance where he couldn't strike them or he couldn't get to them. And he would eat the food and they live like that. They live with that kind of reproach. They live with that kind of stigma. But Brother Cole said that one day his native
pastors that he had trained and had been converted to this glorious truth. They were coming through that village, and they saw this man at the end of the chain, and the man went after them. And Brother Cole said that they got down on their knees, just out of the reach of his flaying arms, and they got to praying, and they closed their eyes, and they got to praying, and they got involved in intercessory prayer, and they connected with this Jesus who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And all of a sudden, it occurred to one of them that the man was not moving, the chain was not rattling, and that there was no noise, and there were no grunts, and no groans, and there was no growling. They opened their eyes, and the man seated there, his right mind, he was seated in his right mind, and the village came out and they saw such a thing, and the family came and they were weeping and they were so excited, and they loosed the man from the chain, and the whole village was baptized in Jesus' name, and the whole village received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is the gospel. This is the real gospel. Not some dead, dull, boring, archaic ritualism. Not some program and format. Oh, who needs it? Who needs it? Who wants it? Why have that when you can have this? Why have that when you can have this? Why have that? There are so many stories I could relate like that, that put fire in my soul, that put faith inside of me. Because I could see it in the Spirit, and I could touch it in the Spirit. Faith is the only thing that can take you into the future. You can pick up the scent of faith and go into the future. That's why you can close your eyes in a home missionary church and the pews are all empty, but faith will take you down the road a year or two and you can see the whole place filled with saints worshiping God. That's why we can shout and dance over the rapture. It hasn't taken place yet, but faith gets us there. Faith gets us there. And we experience the touch of the glory of the rapture. Faith is the only thing that can get you into the future. Even the devil cannot get into the future. The devil cannot experience it before it happens. But you and I can experience before it happens, because faith takes us to those places of the miraculous. That's what keeps us going. That's what keeps us going. From blessing to blessing, from mountain to mountain, from joy to joy. That's what keeps us going. No matter what happens today, it's going to be better tomorrow. It's going to be better tomorrow. Because he may come tomorrow. No grave will hold me. No prison will hold me. No boundaries will hold me. If I hear the sound of a trumpet, I'm out of here. I'm out of here.
Which brings me to the point at hand. Lift your hands and pray for understanding right now. Lord Jesus, I pray for understanding. I pray for understanding to come upon us as a people here tonight. Is it not interesting? Is it not interesting for you to take note of the fact that Jesus posed the greatest question ever asked to mankind against a foreign backdrop, against an unfamiliar background? Caesarea Philippi was a Roman city built in honor of Augustus Caesar.
against that foreign background, against that foreign backdrop, Jesus asked the greatest question ever posed to mankind. He said, "Who do you say that I am?" And the fabulous thing about it all is that Peter stood up and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "Flesh and blood not revealed it to you, but my Father which is in heaven." But a few chapters later, in a Jewish city, the city of King David, the seat of Jewry, the seat of Judaism, where the streets were familiar to them, where the buildings were familiar to them, where the temple stood august and imposing up over the populace, where the cloud rose from the incense, where they could hear the singing of the Levites, where everything was familiar to them, and to Peter in particular. Here, Peter, miserably, totally failed. He not only denied, he cursed with an oath and said, "I don't know this man. This isn't Jesus. I've never seen him." Why? Why in a Roman city that was foreign to him did he find the strength to stand and declare the truth of God? And in a city where he should have found strength from the environment, strength from the city itself, strength from the temple. Why in Jerusalem did he totally and miserably fail?
Because his brethren didn't believe. Peter, I believe with all my heart, knew in his heart that Jesus was the anointed one. But when he saw his brethren run, when he saw them deny, and the thing fell apart, and Jesus now was in the hands of the Romans, it's very difficult, people, to believe when your brethren do not believe. It doesn't matter how much music is around you. It doesn't matter how big and tall the steeple is on the church. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter when your brethren do not believe it. It's very difficult for you to stand and say, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." I've wondered many times why pastors who pastor small churches in this country leave here and go to foreign soil where everything is foreign, where nothing is familiar to them. And then we get reports back that hundreds have received the Holy Ghost. Hundreds have been baptized. Miracles of healing are happening. And nobody can hardly believe it, because in this country, they just pastored a small church. The answer is that when they get to foreign soil, where everything is foreign to them, the language, the customs, the culture, the only thing they have that they can rely on is the Jesus that is alive inside of them. And they know that if God doesn't do it, the district board is not there to cover for them. They have no fellowship. It's got to happen, or it's going to be an end for them. And so they're able, against foreign backdrops and cultures that are foreign to them and languages they cannot understand, they will stand and declare powerfully, "Thus saith the Lord." And if you stand and declare powerfully, "Thus saith the Lord," He's going to back you. 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 Shall I believe it?
But in Jerusalem, where he should have found strength from familiar surroundings, he did first came into this. You told me that God would use me. You said if I would let go of my career in commercial art at Drake University. You said if I would lay down all of that and just come and serve God and let go of my education, that God would use me. You told me that if I would live for Him, He would make a way for me where there was no way. You told me if I gave my life totally to Him, that my life would have meaning and purpose. And I believe you. In fact, I believed you so much that Brother Butcher always said, oh, Brother Lee, just be careful because the Holy Ghost could fall on you in the yard. It can fall on you anytime. You get the Holy Ghost in the middle of the night. I became so paranoid because he said it would happen. It could happen. I didn't want to go outside my house to even mow the lawn. I thought, what if this thing falls on me in the yard and my neighbors see me acting in the yard in the grass like they act in that church? What am I going to do? How will I explain it? They'll carry me away. But you see, I believed it. I believed it. I believed it. I believed it. And I struggled on whether or not to come into this. I struggled. I fought you, people. I tried to disprove you, and the more I tried to disprove you, the more sense you made. And I wouldn't tell you that. I would never give you the benefit. But I fought. That's why I can hang in there with anybody. I don't care how difficult you are. I don't care what you say. We'll crack you in the end. It's the end that counts. Just fight all you want, but the people who fight the hardest fall the hardest. And I fought it. But I couldn't fight you. I couldn't fight you. God looking at my struggle, God knowing that I wanted the truth, but seeing my struggle and the things that I was aspiring to in the world. One day when I was praying in my own home at that time, right across from Drake University, I was a student there, God gave me a vision. I didn't even have the Holy Ghost yet. God gave me a vision. I saw myself carrying a little bottle of oil, uncorking it, and laying hands on the sick, and people getting out of wheelchairs, and people being healed of all kinds of things. So now, I had the power of choice. I was caught between a career, wanting to be successful because my daddy was an alcoholic, and I had nothing growing up. I was caught between success that was at my fingertips and some little bottle of oil. I think they make spaghetti sauce out of this. Yeah, they do. I was caught between wanting to be a success in the world and a bottle of oil in the name of Jesus. And I struggled back and forth, back and forth, until one day I settled it all. I said, take this world, take everything that's in it. I'll take this oil. I'll take the oil. I'll take the oil. I'll take it. And whatever God does with me, He can do with me. But I'll choose this. But you want to know. You want to know the terrible truth of all of it? You want to know the terrible truth of the story that I found out after I got in this and let go of everything, my security in the world, my education, everything else. I found out after I grasped that bottle of oil and let go of everything, I found out that even though you preach it, you don't really believe it. And I made up my mind. It doesn't matter for the Pentecost. I've let go of everything, and I'm going to have this. I'm going to have it. I'm going to have it, whether anybody else has it or not. I'm going to have a move of God in my life. I will see signs, wonders, and miracles. I will see them. I will have them. I will. I'm still saying it. I will. I do have it. You may be seated. I don't mind telling you that in the last 35 years, there have been some rugged places in my walk with God because brethren have not believed it, and they've fought me, and they've spread reports that people aren't really healed in my meetings and that they don't really get out of wheelchairs. I want to tell you, they have dragged me through it, and it is difficult to keep preaching it when people around you don't believe it. It is difficult to stand there and keep preaching it when your brethren do not believe it and really don't want it. But I made up my mind. No matter what they do, no matter what they say, I'm never going to preach anything different. I'm going to preach this because it's all I know. It's all I want. It's all I get.
Pentecostal, hear me tonight. If you ever ought to find strength to believe in God, it ought to be here inside this Jerusalem. We're not asking you to do it on the street corners, but when you come to Jerusalem, when you come to the church where everything is familiar, where there is security, you ought to be able to have faith in God, faith among the people of God. You may be seated. I am sure you noticed, if you were here last night, that I am desperate to help our people. I am desperate to tear away the torture and the prisons holding our people. I'm desperate to help our people because you're all I've got. I don't want to see us go down. I don't want to see you lose out. No! In Jesus' name! No! 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 Hallelujah.
as I was very graphic last night, but the world is graphic. Our school systems are graphic. We're going to have to fight fire with fire. We're going to have to match fire with fire. They don't have the answers. We have the answer. His name. What is his name? Say it again.
We witnessed here last night in this place the power of forgiveness. Victory reports have come to me since last night that are nothing short of miraculous. Some of the things that happened to people in their prayer sessions that they prayed last night at this altar and in these pews, and some things that happened at the touch of the hand of fellow believers, the reports, the notes that have been passed to me, God will only know the end result of all that has happened in this place. And did you notice last night that Jesus did not expose anybody? He didn't embarrass anybody. He just stood silently by and quietly and tenderly by and listened to you execute the power of forgiveness. And all of a sudden he walked among the needy and began to heal and began to do things because of the power of forgiveness. You have in your hand, you have in your hand the keys to life and to life eternal. You may be seated. I don't know what there is about me, but I seem to gravitate to the impossible cases. I suppose it's because I understand and know that every miracle begins with an impossibility. Every miracle begins with an impossibility. Every miracle begins with an impossibility. When man has reached the end of his intellectual expertise, there is a Jesus that says, try me, try me, try me. And in this hour, the church is reaching a place in the dimension where we're beginning to puzzle the intellectuals of this hour and the medical society, because they've got x-rays that show it and they've got x-rays that... it's no longer there. What they don't understand is between this x-ray and this x-ray, there's a man called Jesus that walks on the scene. And he, without a scalpel, without a surgeon's knife, he can remove, he can operate, he can replace bone, he can replace eyes, he can change a mind, he can disintegrate a tumor. He can burn cancer out. Just in his presence here tonight, his rays shining down upon your body can go through the coat, through the shirt, through the dress, through the underwear, and suddenly the radiation of the most powerful force ever known to man can shine into your body, and a tumor can disappear. Cancer can be burned out. Suddenly, 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 you're all right. You're just all right. That's power, Brother Carpenter. That's power. That's the Jesus. That's the Jesus. That's the Jesus that we know. That's the Jesus of the Bible. Not some cold, dead figure hanging on a crucifix somewhere. The cross is empty. He's walking in the streets. He's walking in the highways. He's walking in the byways. He's walking in the villages.
you know? You know how you know, but you don't know? You know, but you don't know. You know vaguely, but you don't really know. Because you've never experientially just got into it and saw it or executed it or became an eyewitness to something. I've always known, I know tonight, that God can do what no one else can do. It doesn't matter how tangled your life is. It doesn't matter what you've done, how low down you've been, what you've committed. It doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. Now, it may matter to society. It may matter to your family. They may have cast you out. They may have thrown you out. That's why in some major denominations you have only the rich, the affluent, and the intellectual. There's no place for the poor or the beggarly or the devil-possessed because they can't help them. They can't help them. That's why they come to us. One of the greatest compliments in your ministry when you're starting a church, if you begin to attract devil-possessed people and mentally retarded, you know what that's telling you? They understand that they can be helped here. They didn't get it anyplace else, but they feel power among you. It's the greatest. We get insulted and we feel badly about it and we don't know what's going on and we think we just attract only that kind of person. That's not what's going on. The devil's lying to you. What the people are telling you is, I found help. There's power in this place. I can get my mind straightened out. I can get off a needle. I can get help here. That's what the world is saying. That's what the world is saying. And so behind the scenes, I've gotten engaged in so many impossible situations. I mean, one pastor said, you'll never get it done. It's impossible. It won't happen. It won't happen. But God gave me a vision of that young man preaching, and I held on to the vision. I mean, if God's given you a vision, hold on to the vision. Don't listen to words or books or philosophies or ideologies. Just hang on to the vision. Don't you understand? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. That little vision is substance. That little mental picture is substance. Yeah, I guarantee Sister Freeman has seen in the theater of her mind's eye this boy right here speaking with tongues and living for God before it ever happened. That was substance. You hang on to substance, it will become evidence. One day he came walking down the aisle. Substance became evidence. Hang on to substance. You got a vision, you got a word, hang on to that. Hang on to that. Hang on to it. It will become evidence. See, I see it. See, I've got the revelation. See, I've heard from God. And none of you have heard from God. You've had a vision. You've had a word. And the devil has tried to tell you it's not so. It is 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 going to happen. It is going to happen. In God's time, it is going to happen. It is going to happen. So just stop your begging and just begin to worship. Say, God, I've seen it. You've let me see it. And I'm going to hang on to it. Evidence is coming down the road. Evidence is somewhere walking toward me. Somewhere that's on its way toward me. Yes! I don't know more than ever before in my life or ministry in these 35 years among you. I suddenly have become aware of the tremendous power of God in my life through the presence of the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus to literally transform the impossible and to make new out of that which has been cast upon the heap of refuse and garbage. I was in one city and I was there preaching a crusade. I found out that in one of the churches in that city, the organist had come down with AIDS. And they found out that he had been living a double standard lifestyle. His wife was devastated. She divorced him. It had a terrible effect upon the church because no one guessed. And they told me he was in the hospital dying with AIDS. And I found out just about a day before I left the area. So I got a hold of the hospital. I found out where he was, and he had a phone in his room, and I called him on the phone. I said, I don't know if you know me or not, but I'm Brother Stone King. And when he heard my voice, evidently he heard me preach someplace, he began to cry. I said, I understand that you are dying. I said, I want to pray for you over the phone. I do not want you to go to hell. I don't approve of what you've done, but I don't want you to burn forever and forever and forever. And I began to pray, and as I began to pray, he began to sob. And all of a sudden, after about 10 minutes of praying over the phone, he burst out speaking with tongues. He was praying in the spirit on the phone. He spoke with tongues. I don't know how long it was. It was a long time. After a while, I said to him, I have to go. I have to go. He was still crying, speaking with tongues when I hung up. About 3 days later, he was dead. But isn't there a scripture someplace that says, pulling them out of the fire? Isn't there a scripture someplace that says, pulling them out of the fire? Someone else this year, someone else that God miraculously helped me to deliver, miraculously helped me to rescue, said to me, looked into my face and said, Brother Stone King, no one has ever cared for me. Why did you? I said, because I know Jesus, and I'm trying to be like Him. I'm trying to be like Him. I cannot live without a burden for the lost. I cannot live without a burden for the lost. Christianity is a sham without a burden for the lost. Christianity is an empty hall without a burden for the lost. What good does it come here to shout and show off your fine clothes and act like some pious one when you never shed a tear over the lost and you don't have the grace to stoop to the dying? What good is your Christianity? What good is your profession? What good is it? What good is it? It's of no value at all. It's of no value at all. I cannot live without a burden for the lost. I will not live without a burden for the lost. And I will not believe the negativism. It does not matter to me what they say. I made up my mind 35 years ago. I'm going to have a revival. I'm going to see the miraculous. I will find strength in Jerusalem. I will find strength in Jerusalem. I will not let them drive me out. I will not let the unbelieving take away my miracle. I will not let the unbelieving take away my miracle. I will find faith in Jerusalem. I will find faith in Jerusalem. My God, people, angels of the Lord are in this place tonight. The singing of the saints of God, the power of God, the praise of His people in this place tonight is the power that can resurrect the dead, cause the lame to walk, the blind to see, the deaf to hear. In this place tonight is power of God delivered. In this place tonight is the gospel story. In this place tonight is Jesus alive. Jesus alive. Jesus alive. Jesus alive. Jesus alive. In this place. Cry, Jesus, help me again. 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 One more time. I've got it. I've got the help. Lift your hands and let your voice out for a moment.
Faith is building. Keep talking to him. Faith is building. Faith is building. We can feel it flowing from left to right, from right to left, from the front to the back, from the back to the front, from the balcony to the floor. Faith is building. Faith is building. Let your voice out. Faith is building. Faith is building. Faith is building. You can feel it. Faith is building. Faith is moving around you. Faith is moving around you. Faith, faith, faith. I believe in miracles. Say it again. Say it again. Say miracles are here tonight. Say miracles are here right now. Turn to your neighbor and say, I've got something inside of me that can deliver you from anything. Say, would you like me to set you free? Faith. Can you feel the faith? Can you feel it? These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. 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 They shall pick up serpents. If they drink and they did anything, it shall not hurt their feet. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. They shall recover. They shall recover. So if you're a believer tonight, get a hold of somebody. Get a hold of somebody right now. Get a hold of somebody right now. Hit this. It's happening because it has to happen, because it has to happen, because it is written. These signs shall follow them to believe. That's you. Just keep on doing it. Do something with it. Do something with it. Do something with it. Do something with it now.